Okay, let's bring the lights up. We got a lot of kids in here. Wow. So I'm really pleased that you guys are here. How many of you kids are expecting to be bored? That's right. That's right. My daughter's raising her hand, too. She knows what's up. She hears me all the time. So Billy didn't mention we have Bibles available for you. If you want one of our Bibles, we've got them available in the back. Raise your hand. We'll bring one to you. All of the scripture passages today are printed on your note sheet, and they'll be on the screen, so you can follow along with us that way. But if you want to have a Bible that's easy to understand, easy to read, or you want to just be flipping pages today, raise your hand and we'll bring you one. Also, if you didn't get a pen, you need to have one of our pens, because they're the only pens that write on our Connect cards. The cards that we bought are somehow like impervious to everything but ballpoint pens. Anyway, okay, so kids, there are some rules today. Are you ready for the rules? Here are the rules, children. You're allowed to talk back to me. What? What? What did he say? Parents, you're allowed to talk back too, because this is going to be a noisy room because we got kids and stuff, and so we're just going to embrace it. So parents, you're allowed to say things like, you go, dude, and preach it, brother, and amen, okay? You can say stuff like that. If I say something you don't get, then you're allowed to say something like, whoa, okay? And then I'll slow down, I'll back it up, and we'll start over that phrase again. And then children, if you guys have a question, go ahead and you can raise your hands, and I will do my best, if the question works for us at that moment in time, to answer it as best I can. But you also can say things like, dude, or awesome, or cool, or things like that. So I know this room is going to be noisy, we're just going to embrace it, okay? What about what? What about babies? Yeah, they're going to make noises, and I can't give them any rules. That's just the way they roll. Some of them actually do roll. But in the back, there's a little section there. Can you guys in the family section sort of raise your hand? There's a family-friendly section in the back. If your children need to roll around, there is space back there. We can have some fun. Okay. With all that said, in your bulletin, there's a note sheet. I want you to pull it out. We're going to go through a lesson today. And you'll also notice that in the bulletin, there are little blue pieces of paper. Every single breathing individual in this room, except for those who are rolling around on the back, needs one of these blue pieces of paper. So if you did not get one of these blue pieces of paper, I need you also to raise your hand, and we're going to make sure they come around to you. Billy, do we have that stack available? Okay. So Billy's going to be bringing these things around. They were in a bulletin, and I know most of you try to save trees by only taking one bulletin, and we only put one piece of paper, I think, in each bulletin. So I'm going to keep talking, but Billy's going to be walking around with these things. So everybody, including the chillins, needs a blue piece of paper. Okay. So what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks, you guys can put the first verse on the screen, kind of comes from this idea from the Bible that Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. We live in a society where we focus on all these things, and Jesus asks us to focus on seek first His kingdom. There's one thing to pay attention to, and yet we pay attention to a whole lot of things. And so the thing that we need to realize for our study right now and for this week is that God wants us to simplify our lives. There are a lot of things we worried about, and He wants us to simplify down to just a couple things. The kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at four different aspects of the kingdom of God, four different things Jesus is asking us to do to live out that life. And so we're going to hit number four today. But before we do that, let's do a little bit of review. They're printed on your note sheet. They're also going to be on the screen. We got Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. This is called the Great Commandment, not the Great Suggestion. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That means, kids, the entire Old Testament is summed up by these two commands. Love God and love others. Love God and love others. If you do those two things, then you've got the whole Old Testament down pat. No one can ever say, hey, you broke a command. You're like, well, let's check. Am I loving God? Am I loving others? If you're doing those two things, Jesus says you're covering the entire Old Testament. But then, right before He goes back up to heaven, He gives us another command, and this is called the Great Commission. And commission is like a word for assignment. So you could think of this as our homework assignment until Jesus comes back again. And it goes like this, Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus says, here you go. If you're a disciple, you need to make disciples. Okay, kids, how many of you know what the word disciple means? Does anyone know what that word means? There's one. Do you think he does? Do you know what disciple means? What does it mean? You don't know? Should we ask your mom and dad? Do they know? Does any adult know what this? Oh, there's one in the back. Colin, what? Jesus' followers. Right on. Give the guy a hand. Okay. So a disciple is someone who's following Jesus. And then he says to his disciples, I want you to make more disciples. Make more people who are following Jesus. So there we got two other commands. One is, I need to be a disciple. And then two, I need to be part of helping other people become disciples. And so today, we're going to deal with that last piece, helping other people become disciples, helping other people the way God wants us to. So here's some priorities in your first blank to jot down if you want to. Review, the first priority was God himself. The second priority is God's family. The third priority is my own spiritual growth, following Jesus, becoming like him. And the fourth priority, here's your blank, is my ministry. There's an important word, jot that one down, my ministry. Now, this simply means, a lot of us get the word ministry misunderstood. Sometimes people think ministry is when someone is hired and they're paid to do a particular church type job. And no, that's not what ministry is. Ministry, the way we're using it and the way the Bible would indicate using it, is that we just serve people, which means we start with what God has given to us and then we serve other people. So kids, I got to ask you another question. And this is going to be for a bunch of different kids, okay? Not just one answer. There's a whole bunch of good answers for this one. What has Jesus done for us? Kids, what do you think? He died for our sins. Good job. Give him a hand. Okay, we got one. Who else knows what Jesus has done for us? Yeah? Really loudly, I know you can do it. He takes care of us. Good, give her a hand. All right, who else? Anyone else got one? We got one right here. He gave us our family. Good job. Give her a hand. Okay, and there's one in the back there. He blesses us. Right on. Bring on more blessings. Yeah, Jesus has done a lot for us. And here's the thing. If Jesus did discipling for his disciples and then says, make more disciples, what he means is, if I've done something for you, do it for others. So if Jesus has done something for us, we need to do it for others. Okay, so Jesus died for us. How do we do that for others? Well, that's going to be tough. We're going to have to try to address that. Jesus blesses us. How do we do that for others? Well, we're going to have to address that. So you're going to have to pay attention here, and we're going to have to see how we can do for other people what Jesus has done for us. But now what I want to do is, for some of you who are new here and for the kids, when we talk about blessing other people, we use this metaphor of water. It's on the screen here. And the thing is that right now, you can think about how thirsty you are. I had a little bit of coffee earlier this morning and it dried out my throat, you know what I'm saying? Got a little cup up here, thinking about just drinking it and making you all jealous. There's someone right here drinking. Think about how thirsty you are. How great is it when someone gives you a cup of water when you're thirsty? You go over to someone's house and they're like, "Hey man, how you doing?" This last week, my wife and I signed, we closed on our house for the third time. We've bought our house three times. This time it was a much better interest rate because they just keep dropping. So we did that again. We refinanced our house again. And when we're there, we're in the title company, and I know there's a refrigerator there. And the lady's like, "Can I get you something to drink?" And I know I can ask for anything I want, and she's going to have it. And lame me, I wasn't thinking about what I was saying, and I asked for coffee. They've got like sodas and they've got all kinds of whatnot, but it was in the morning and I asked for coffee. But don't ever go to like a business and ask for their coffee. If you get a Coca-Cola, it tastes the same no matter where you are. If you get coffee, Well, you're shooting yourself in the foot if you're if you're asking someone who doesn't know what they're doing. So we use this water metaphor because it's a very refreshing kind of metaphor, and we want to be refreshing kind of people. So look on the walls. Can you see these things right there?
Yeah.
These two things here we're calling today the waterfall of awesome. Okay? These are the waterfalls of awesome. And we're going to awesomeify the waterfalls today. The little blue cards that you have, at some point today, I'm going to ask you to write down on the cards something along the lines of what Jesus has done for you and who you are. So you're going to just write these down right now, and then we'll fill them out a little bit later. But on the top of that card, on one side, write, I am blank. And then for the rest of this morning, you're going to think about who you are. What has God made you to be, okay? I'm a dude. I'm about 5'10". And, you know, I've got certain abilities maybe, but just who am I? I'm a college graduate. Things like that. Then on the back side of that, you're going to write down, I can blank. And you're going to fill in that blank with something you can do. So on the front side, it's I am. On the back side, it's I can. Okay? On the front side, it's I am. On the back side, it's I can. And through the rest of this message, if you get really bored with me, you can just write down some stuff on your list. Okay? I'm giving you permission. But we're going to talk. We're going to fill in a couple more blanks. We're going to talk about some things about what Jesus has done for us. Because here's the truth. My ministry begins with what's been done for me. Okay? Who I am and what I can do for others begins with what's been already done for me. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Here's the first one. Jesus went out of his way, and here's your blank. He went out of his way to love us. Jesus went out of his way to love us. Does anyone in the room know John 3:16? Yeah, it's Tebow. For God so loved Tim Tebow that he made him win miraculously. in astounding fashion against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just had to say that because Rogers is a fan. He's a Steelers fan over there, and I just had to rub that just a little bit. Yeah, there you go. And then they got trounced by the Patriots. But that's okay. That's okay, because the Patriots are going to get trounced today. Okay, so, I mean, next week. So here we go, okay? Jesus went out of his way to love us. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." No one who believes in Jesus will perish. Everyone who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. But God had to send him to us. Jesus was fine and dandy, happy in heaven, right? I mean, he lived there for all eternity. And then the Father says to him, okay, it's time now. I want you to go to earth and go through the process of living and getting dirty and having to eat and getting sick and finally dying. And Jesus is like, okay, Dad, cool, I'll go with that. So he comes to earth. He goes out of his way to show us he loves us. How many of you know Mike and Paige Heitzman? Yeah, Mike is one of our worship leaders here. He's and Paige is his wife. She sometimes does announcements. She's also running our creative team. She's leading that. The reason they're not here today, do you know why they're not here? She is at Faith Baptist right now with her husband. Mike and Paige together at Faith Baptist Church, which isn't Faith Baptist anymore. It's still Baptist, but they don't call it that way. It's just Faith Church, and that's a different story. But they're over there now because they're meeting a guy to thank him. I got to tell you this story. Last week, on Thursday, 2 weeks ago on Thursday, Paige was driving down I-65 with her son Brooks in his carrier in the car. And that Thursday was the day it was all snowy and everything. And so people on I-65 were sliding off the roads left and right. And there was a 6-car accident that she was the last car in. And she plowed into the back end of a semi and totaled her SUV and had to crawl out the window of the car. And so she's worried about her son. She's worried about the car. She's crawling out the window. She gets out, and there's a guy who just pulled up behind her. He pulls up behind her. He says, "I saw you do that video game Lara Croft Tomb Raider move getting out of your car, and I thought you might need some help." And so he stops there and he offers help to her. And she's talking to him and she says, yeah, man, I'm on my way to a vacation. She asks him why he's going down to Indianapolis. He says he's going to a music store. She says, are you a professional musician? He goes, yeah, kind of. I'm a worship leader. And he had already told her that his name was Titus. And she puts two and two together. And she's like, Titus, you're the worship leader at Faith. And he's like, yeah, that's me. He's also the son-in-law of our own electric guitarist, Jim Hoffman, back there. Raise your hand, Jim. Yeah. So he has a little bit of responsibility in how cool Titus is. But so Titus stopped. He's also a friend of mine. We're working on a worship project together. But he stopped behind her, got out of his car, took all of the vacation stuff out of her car, loaded it up into his car, helped the kid get settled in the new car, popped her in the car, and he started driving. Now, the fact that Paige got in the car with a strange guy is, you know, I'm not going there. I'm just saying, I know Titus. He's a really winsome dude. I mean, he's a very compelling kind of... So anyway, as they're talking, they find out he's also the brother of Seth Curtis, who was here this last summer telling us about his missions work in Congo, Africa. Here's the deal. Titus didn't have to stop. Right? If he kept driving, no one from Faith would have known. Right? If he kept driving, Paige would never have known that it was Titus who passed her by. If he kept driving, no consequences whatsoever. He stopped because there was a woman climbing out of her car and he thought she needed help. And he's just that good of a guy. Jesus went out of his way to love us. He didn't have to. The universe was just fine and dandy if all humans on the face of the planet just died. But Jesus wasn't satisfied with that. He went out of his way to love us. And here's the problem. Love like that is by nature inconvenient. Don't wait around for love to be convenient. It's by nature inconvenient. Okay, kids, let's move on. Let's write down another blank. Jesus lived as a perfect mentor. Here's your next word. A perfect mentor. That means a teacher. That also means an example. Okay, so kids, I got a question for you. What is the coolest thing your mom or dad can do? Oh, but before you answer that, I got to show you this picture. Can you guys click on to this picture right here? My dad can beat up your dad. He was in the Army, the Marines, and the Navy SEALs. When I was a kid, this was a famous phrase, not the bottom half, but the top half. Anytime someone was getting in an argument with two kids, one kid would say to the other kid, yeah, well, my dad could beat up your dad. And usually what that meant is, I can't beat you up, but my dad could beat you up. And my dad could beat up your dad, too. So that's pretty good, too. So kids, now let me ask you, what is something cool that your parents, your mom or dad, can do? Who wants to give me something? Anyone? Something cool that your mom or dad could do. We have anything? Okay, I'll let you talk again. Okay, Billy Hardy can fix almost anything. Let's give him a hand. Anyone else? You got something? Oh, right on. Ruben here plays bass guitar. Everybody give him a hand. Way to go, dude. Give me five. Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, he plays a really mean bass guitar. One more in the back here. Layla? If you didn't hear that, she said, my dad can beat up my brother. Give her a hand. Okay. I want to show you something Jesus did. It's in Matthew chapter 4. Check this out. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. You know, Jesus was face to face with Satan. And he looked him square in the eye and said, get away. And he did. That's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool. I don't know if your dad can beat up Satan. But Jesus can just look at him and be like, okay, my dad could beat you up. I could beat you up. It doesn't matter. Satan, get out of here. You're not going to tempt me to do this. If Jesus can defeat Satan, and he demonstrates that visibly for us by simply quoting Scripture, what he's doing is he's giving us that same power too. If you understand the Bible, you also have the power to just defeat Satan in your life. And you can look at him in the face if he were to make that kind of appearance to you. I don't know, but you can just absolutely say, Satan, here's what the Bible says. You have no power over my life. Get away. And he will. Now, if Jesus does that for you, we can do that for others. We can free other people from the same type of entrapments. Okay, let's keep moving. I got another blank for you. Jesus saved us from our sin. Okay, we're almost to the waterfall of awesome. So if you're not ready, get ready. Jesus saved us from our sin. Look at these two verses. John 3:16, you know. Do you also know the next one? It says, God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you kids have ever gotten a spanking? No, this isn't for a... I'm not, like, investigating your parents. This is not for that. It doesn't leave this room, okay? It's cool, whatever. I'm going to tell you about my own personal abuse story. It's not really abuse. It's just spanking. Okay, so I was spanked as a kid. I was. Look how I turned out. So I was spanked as a kid. My parents had this unique technique of making sure that we only were swatted 3 times. And my dad had the best aim. So SWAT number 1, you can brush it off. SWAT number 2, ooh, I felt that. And SWAT number 3, really gotcha. Okay? So they had this 3 SWAT maximum. That was our deal. And I can't remember why my sister and I were both in trouble on the same day, but we were. And so my dad went to her first. She's 3 years older than me, so he went to her first. And I'm in my room, she's in her room down the hallway, and I hear this, whack, ah, whack, ah, whack, ah. And then there's like this mumbling, and I'm down in the end of the hall, I can't hear the actual words, but what I'm hearing is this. It sounds like this. And then I heard, whack. And I went, what just happened? Because I'm counting, okay? That was 4. And then I hear, whack, whack. It happened up to 8. I'm sitting there in my room, like, what is going on here? And then I realized, no, I didn't. This is retrospect. Hindsight is 20/20. This is what I should have said when my dad came in the room. This is what I should have said. Gee, Dad, I know our normal allotment is 3, and since my sister has already received 8, perhaps we could apply some of her allotment to my account. Her surplus can apply to me, and therefore I should be taken care of. In fact, I should have 2 more in the bank for the next time. I didn't say that to my dad. I got my 3 and kept my mouth shut and moved on with my life. But that's what happens with Jesus. He doesn't deserve to get the punishment for us, but he does. He gets the punishment so that his punishment can apply to our account so that we don't have to. One more blank. Jesus gave us our shape. Put this down with dots in between the letters, S-H-A-P-E. And on this next screen, you're going to see what the different letters stand for. You might want to jot this down if you want. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. Spiritual gifts means the things that I would only have because Jesus is with me. Things in the Bible that are called spiritual gifts are gifts like apostleship and words of spiritual knowledge and being able to understand what the spirit world is doing at any particular time. It's called discernment. Those kinds of gifts only come when the Holy Spirit empowers us to do something like that. But all the rest of these are who God made you to be. Your heart, your abilities, your personality. Yeah, even the things that you don't like about yourself, God can use that. And then your experiences. Good and bad past history can still be used by God for amazing things. So, with that in mind, we're going to take a little break. We're going to take about a 5-minute break. And what I want you to do, we're going to play some music in the back, and I want us to attach things to the waterfall of awesome. So you're going to write stuff down on your little blue card if you haven't written it down, and then just get up from where you are and wander over to one of these waterfalls and clip it on. Parents, help the kids. Let's try to get them all the way up to the top. Clip them on. We're just going to take like about a 2 to 5 minute break, depending on how long this takes. And go ahead and take the opportunity to read some of them too. Go ahead. Can we have some music? How'd we do? How'd we do? I'm gonna take a look at these waterfalls a little bit and see what we got going on here. I did a couple sneak peeks on some of these. I wanted to draw your attention to a few of these, but then some of these are just surprising to me. This one here says, I can sleep for 20 hours. That rocks. I'm imagining there's a ministry there somewhere. Like, maybe you could start, like, a sleep club where you just, like, get people together and you're like, let's just sleep. You know? I bet that could go over real well on Purdue's campus. You'd be like, hey, Friday morning sleep club, be there at 9 a.m.? I don't know. I'm just making it up. This one says, I'm a scientist and I can play drums. Oh, yeah. Well, we got drums of science in there. We got, oh, that one's upside down. I can show many others the way to, I can't read the top part. It's all upside down. I can show many others the way. We're just going to spiritualize that one and say the way to Jesus. That would be incredible. Let's see. There was one over here that I thought was really important. It says, I am unbelievably good looking. You know, you can use that. People want to look at you, and you're like, Jesus gave me this. I don't know. Maybe. We got a couple of... Oh, we got one saying, I can build. And it looks like it might be like building with Legos or something. That would be interesting. You could have... Check this out. You could have, if you're a kid, you could have a Lego party.
There's a Lego Bible?
A Lego Bible? It's like animated Lego Bible? Not good for kids. Okay, everybody, there is a Lego Bible, but it's not good for kids. So I don't know what that's all about. Let me just check a couple more over here. What do we have over here on this side? I can work. I can work. Did you know that you can do work to bless people? There's a lady that we just found out about a couple months ago. She's now being helped already, but I learned about it and I didn't know anything our church could do about it. She's downtown and she needed a new roof. She's got one of these small little houses, but she had no roof. At least it was broken in one particular area and really leaky. She notified the mayor. The mayor notified the Association of Churches in this town. They contacted me, and all I could do was be the conduit of information to the other churches in town. But we could have said, hey, there's a roofer in our church. Let's go ahead and send him out there and bless that lady's socks off. I didn't know about that because part of our thing is that we haven't done a really solid job of databasing what we're all capable of doing. But anyway, that's just something that I thought we could think about. I can help others learn. I can be someone's hero. Oh, look at this one. I can adore my wife. That was so awesome. You guys are sweet. Seriously, if you're married, your greatest blessing in the world is to demonstrate what a marriage looks like for real. Your greatest blessing to the rest of this world, if you're married, is to say, we're going to do this the way it should be done. And y'all are going to be blessed by it. Everyone out there is just going to say, you know what? That's awesome. I want to know the power behind that. You can really bless some people. I got a couple blanks I want you to fill in, and then we're going to close. Jesus deserves my ministry. Whatever you put on the wall represents something Jesus gave you for you to use to bless someone else. So here are a couple things to jot down. Number one, sometimes we serve from our best talents. Sometimes we serve from our best talents. Your best talent might be, I can play drums, or I can play guitar, or I can sing. That might be your best talent. And sometimes you can use those things to serve. One of my best talents, I think, is trying to teach a room of children and adults at the same time. I'm working on that. I'm trying to develop something like that. So sometimes we operate from our best talents, but that's not all the time. Sometimes we operate, here's your next one, from our basic ability. I might have as a talent the ability to teach, but as a basic ability, I have the ability to clean a toilet. Okay? Now, if I were to say something like this, I'm sorry, I can't help you, I'm a teacher. That would not be very blessing-oriented. That would not be very helpful. That would not be going out of my way to help someone. Titus is an incredible musician and worship leader over at Faith, and he's a good friend. But his basic ability is that he knows how to drive. And he used that basic ability to help another person out just a week and a half ago. Sometimes we operate from our best talents, sometimes from our basic abilities. Here in this church, there are plenty of opportunities for you to find a place of service according to your best talents. But there are also plenty of opportunities for our basic abilities. Keep going. Next, sometimes we serve with mission intent. That means I have a goal, I have a mindset. I'll give you an example of this. You might have a friend. This is just my suggestion to you. You might have a friend, and you want to say, I want to bless my friend with some mission intent. I want my intent to be to introduce that person to Jesus somehow. And this is your technique. You're going to invite your friend over to your house, and you're going to invite me over to your house. And we're going to have a meal together and hang out, and you're going to feed me, I mean your friend, really well. And we're going to have a conversation, and we're going to talk about Jesus, we're going to talk about the church, we're going to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. That's one option, I'm just saying. Okay, if you wanted to invite me and my family over to your house and invite some of your neighbors too, that would be kind of fun. Seriously, sometimes we serve with an intent, okay? Sometimes, however, we serve with just faithful hope. I don't have any agenda here. I'm just serving you because it's a good thing to do. In the month of March, you know what we're going to do? This is crazy. We just planned this last week. And in the month of March, we're going to take the first Monday, or we're going to take Monday of every week, okay? We're going to take Monday of every week, and we're going to go over to Benjamin Crossing Neighborhood, and we're going to give people free coffee as they drive out. Why? Because we just have hope that if we're nice to people, maybe we can build some relationships. And if we build some relationships, maybe we can build some contacts that are close enough that we can begin doing some of these blessing things for them. And if we can bless people, you know, that's not a talent. It's not that our church is some type of talent for coffee, although I kind of think maybe we do. But we actually have a basic ability of handing people cups. Okay? So in March, I want you to already get it on your schedule. We're going to plan ways of blessing the socks off people in Benjamin Crossing. So sometimes we serve with faithful hope. Okay, next Sunday is our commitment Sunday. So I'm going to read through these phrases just because I want you to be prepared for what the commitment means. Now remember, what we do is we're going to make commitments to each other. And the top one on your bulletin note sheet, the top commitment is who we are as a church. The bottom commitment is the extra level you go to if you want to be a member of this church. If you want to be a part of the church in a membership capacity. Let's go ahead and read these things. The first of all, We're talking about the element of water, this metaphor of refreshing and blessing other people. It says this, I have the living water in me. Infinite refreshment is mine in Christ, and I unlock it in me when I give it to others. I eagerly risk embarrassment to offer others the living water of Jesus. That's just who we are as a church. But if you want to take it to the next level, it's this. Specifically, I employ everything I am and everything I have for the benefit of others, beginning in this church and extending to the world around me. To help others find full life in Christ, I will work to serve them, befriend them, share my faith with them, invite them to join me in this church, and help them to know the gospel so they too can experience the life I've been given. I will rely on God to refresh me as I strive to refresh others. That's the extra commitment we ask people to make if they want to be members of this community. And so I'm going to end my message right there. And I'm going to ask you to spend a few moments in reflection. First, I want you to reflect about the things you wrote down and say, how can I bless someone with who I am and what I can do? How can I be part of this moving Jesus into the rest of my life kind of journey? How can I do that? The second thing I want to ask you is, am I ready? Ask yourself, am I ready to make this commitment next week? Maybe some of you, before you can make the commitment next week, you need to make a decision to follow Jesus in baptism or to give Him your heart for the first time. If that's you, come to our baptism class on Tuesday. Learn a little bit more about that. Put a check mark on your card. Call me up this week. Let's deal with some of that stuff. But right now, I'm going to give you time just in reflection. You and God, spend some time. I'm going to ask Jim to come back on up here and get the guitar started for us. We're going to lower the lights again. And we're just going to spend some time, you and God, asking God that question, how can I bless other people? And am I ready to make that commitment?